This unit continues to look at standards developing organization that creates standards for HIT, and in this section we will focus on the U.S. SDOs. The IHT SDO, which actually is an international organization, was formed in 2007 as a charter organization and initially had 9 country members. That number has now increased to 15. Membership in IHT SDO enables countrywide use of SNOMED CT at no cost to the citizens of that country. WHO and IHT SDO recently announced a collaborative arrangement to harmonize WHO classifications and SNOMED CT. What this probably will mean is that the new version of the WHO ICD-11 terminology standard will be consistent with similar parts of SNOMED CT. With the release of version 3.0 in 1993, the committee formed by the American College of Radiology and the National Electrical Manufacturer Association changed its name to DICOM and became international in scope. DICOM is perhaps one of the most stable and widely used standards, and as far as imaging standards are concerned, there is essentially no competition. It's ubiquitous in all imaging devices. However, there's less stability in some of the supporting standards, such as the demographics of the patient and other data related to the reasons for the image and some of the characteristics of the image itself. DICOM committee has 27 work groups addressing different kinds of images, different domain focus, reporting, and security. DICOM addresses multiple levels of the ISO-OSI network model and provides support for the exchange of image data. DICOM has also adopted JPEG and MPEG in its suite of standards for imaging. Almost, if not all, pictures and archiving systems, PACS, use DICOM. The standard includes the storage of images and the persistence of images, a structure of indexing, labeling, storing, and retrieving images. DICOM also supports other related functions, such as printing images on film. With the digitalization of images and the effectiveness of the DICOM standards, very few analog images are put on film today. In fact, many places convert old images to digital images and recover the silver from the old films. ASTM E31 for Health Informatics was established in 1970. It has over 300 members, 3 technical subcommittees, and over 30 current approved standards. ASTM itself is a large international standards body that creates standards in many areas. The healthcare focus, E31, is relatively small. With the exception of the continuity of care standards, ASTM standards have not been widely implemented. There is a strong competition between HL7's Clinical Document Architecture, CDA, and ASTM's Continuity of Care Record, CCR. In an attempt to diffuse this competition, HL7, working with ASTM, created the CCD, which is essentially taking the CCR and inserting it into a CDA. Unfortunately, that did not solve the competition, and both standards continue to be developed independently. The American Academy of Family Practice is a strong supporter of the CCR, as are many small vendors. The CCR is simpler to implement than the CDA, but doesn't have all of the standards and structural capability of the CDA. Other ASTM standards are recognized and used somewhat in the field. Perhaps of this group, the guideline elements model is the most widely used. GEM defines elements and composition for our clinical guidelines. The Voluntary Universal Healthcare Identification System, patient ID, is frequently referenced as the only standard of its kind. However, it really hasn't come into widespread use. The Accredited Standards Committee, ASCX-12, was chartered by ANSI in 1979 to develop electronic data interchange, or EDI, standards. ANSI has the authority to create a standards body for any area in which it believes a standard should exist and for which no SDO exists. At the time that X12N was formed, there was no body that was creating reimbursement standards, and so ANSI created ASCX12N. The N suffix stands for insurance and is the largest subcommittee of X12. X12M has created a suite of standards that are EDI standards or business standards for the purpose of claims reporting and processing. These standards are specifically identified in the HIPAA legislation and are required for use with Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. These standards support eligibility and claims tracking as well as claims reporting. X12N and HL7 standard have worked together to create the claims attachment standard. The current status for that activity is using the CDA for claims attachment. Here are some of the standards that have been defined by X12N, and you can see that they cover claims, payment and advice, provider information, acknowledgement of a claim, status of a claim, and that type of activity. The National Council for Prescription Drug Programs was founded in 1977. The membership exceeds 1,500 persons and represents most sectors of pharmacy services industry. Members are pharmacists, payers, and drug companies. There are important standards that are also named and required for use by HIPAA and also the new legislation that supports e-prescribing. SCRIP supports communication between physician and pharmacist. These standards are being expanded to include management of refills and for the actual drugs that are dispensed by the pharmacy. NCPDP takes a strong step towards interoperability by creating a data dictionary that includes the data elements with attributes used in all of the NCPDP transactions. NCPDP and HL7 work closely together. The NCPDP standards are also used by pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs, for pharmacy claims and reimbursement. These standards relate to the billing and claims process. The SDO Charter Organization, known as SCO, was formed in 2009. It provides an environment that facilitates effective coordination and collaboration of U.S. national healthcare standards development. Thus far, little progress has been made in bringing SDOs together, although some of the goals identified in this slide are being discussed. For example, a common reference model would provide easier interoperability among different standards, as well as addressing some of the terminology problems. Maybe some progress has been made on this, but it's still a finalized type of activity. So the next couple of slides give us an indication of the different category of standards, gives us examples of some of the standards that are created in these categories, and tells us the SDOs that are creating those standards. Now, there are a few terms here that you haven't seen before because I've not discussed them really as HIT SDOs. Just a couple of comments in this generic broad use category, for example, OCL is the object constraint language, which is a language to constrain the data components of standards, linkages, and use. AL stands for Web Ontology Language and is used in some of the web services. GIS is for Geographic Information System, or the geocoding standards. And these discussions will be discussed, these groupings will be discussed throughout this component. And you can see the SDOs that that relate to this, going through the categories of data definition, exchange, and knowledge representation, which are critical parts, both in terms of meaningful use and the exchange of data. And this slide continues to define activities within the category of the electronic health record itself, security and privacy, and then a number of standards that relate to application. And again, we will talk about some of these standards later. But from these slides, you can get a feel for who the different SDOs are and what some of the standards are. This, again, is a very busy graphic slide, but it represents a summary of what we've learned in this unit. The cubes represent the categories of standards required for interoperability. The green boxes represent the standards that exist to support the different categories of standards that are required for interoperability. The standards contributing to what is required are identified in the upper top left of the slide itself. Storyboards and use cases are part of the planning process. MDF is the methodology development framework, and DAM is a domain analysis model, an important standard process for planning. Although you may not use these standards formally, you should plan before embarking on any system, even if you buy the system commercially. You need to understand how you plan to use it. We've not mentioned identifiers, person, provider, facility, employer, and health plan, but these identifiers are critical for interoperability. And obviously, profiles and supply chains are part of the process, and privacy and confidentiality must be addressed across all the components. These two URLs will provide access to many of the standards we discussed. If you look up standards in these two resources, you can navigate to the kinds of standards that you're looking for. Most major standards are listed and they're kept reasonably up to date. So this would be, I think, worth looking at if you are interested in. So standards change continuously, and most standards are in constant evolution as requirements changed. We hope you have developed an appreciation for standards and their importance to HIT and current models for health care. Even though this may be overwhelming to you, over time as you begin to understand what it means to be part of the HIT workforce, you may find yourself to the point of really joining into some of the standards development activities. It may be because you're interested in the tutorial. It may be because you're interested in participating in some of the activities and learning and contributing to produce a broad set of standards that are required for HIT.